So I've been doing a bunch of construction work at home, and thought I'd bring some of the things that have become very valuable to me in that time of doing the construction. In fact, there's some things in here that I couldn't actually have gotten through the last few months of that construction without. And I bet you're trying to figure out what's in the box, and it's not a bunch of money, even though that would be very helpful. It's family day, so I'll give you a little hint. It's family day. So I brought a family with me. And it's a family of tools. So I have in here, it's the first tool you think of if you think of a tool. Got a hammer, got a saw, got a tape measure, and I have a tool belt. So how many of you, whether you're old or young, how many of you have had a parent say to you, could you go grab my tool belt while they're working on something? Wow, am I the only one that my dad made me go to get the tool belt? So imagine your parent tells you and goes to get the tool belt while he's trying to pound in a nail. And you bring it to him like this. Do you think he'd grab it and start pounding in the nail? Probably not, right? He'd probably look at you and say, where's my tools? And you're really respectful, so you wouldn't say what you're thinking, but you'd be like, well, you told me to get the tool belt, and I did what you said, so, you know. But, you know, what he means is, where's the tools? The tool belt is supposed to hold the tools. That's what the tool belt's for. So, you know, a family of tools works together to get jobs done. So if I want to cut a hole in the drywall, I take a hammer and hit it, right? Actually, no. If I wanted to cut a hole in the drywall, unless I just wanted to get it out of there, I'd use a drywall saw, because a drywall saw is made to get the job done. If I want to pound in a nail or pull a nail or hit something that needs to move, then I would use the hammer or go get a bigger hammer, as they say, right? So this is a tape measure. Most of you probably know what that is. Measure twice, cut once, right? I have failed at that many times. Some of you may not know what this is. It looks like pliers, but it's actually called wire strippers. And you can cut wire with it, and you strip wire. So if there's plastic on this, you strip that off, and you can make a connection so that the electricity works right. But anyways, what I have here is a family of tools, and each tool has its job. Is needed for something specific. And you may not, you know, notice, or people may not understand what this is as much as they understand this, but it's just as valuable when that's the job you want to do. So I have my family of tools. Now we are people, we're not tools. However, we do have a specific purpose. So if you can flip the next slide, in that verse, 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9, I talked about this a couple weeks ago about these verses, but in that verse you see, as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. Our purpose is to show others the goodness of God. It also says a lot of other stuff about who we are. We talked about this a little, but I'll review that. If you don't trust Jesus, then you're a living stone. In the first verse there, it says you're a living stone that's being built into his spiritual temple. Now, before Jesus came, the temple was the place where people went to experience the presence of God. The presence of God was in the temple. And so that's where you go. It's a very special and significant and holy place. So you go there to see God's presence. And the verse says that now that Jesus is here, we have become part of that holy temple. So we actually have God's presence. It's amazing. It also says we're royal priests. Again, two words that we don't really understand in our time and our culture. Royal, if you grew up in a place where there are kings and queens, you are an ordinary person unless you were born special as a king or a queen into that line. And so normal people just could never imagine being royalty. And priests were the people that could go into that inner place where the presence of God was. And only priests, you had to be born into that as well. And so this verse says, because of Jesus, you are very important and significant people. Amazing. And we're God's possession. He adores us. He gave up everything for us. So we're his possession. So we don't have to earn a place in God's family. Jesus did that for us. We just have to trust him. We have to accept him and trust him with our lives. And when we do accept it, we are part of his family with all these benefits. I sometimes tell my boys that they're Gateses. They don't have to earn being Gateses. They just are because they're my kids. And because they're Gateses, they're part of my family, and they belong, and they're each needed. Each of you are part of God's family, and you belong, and you're needed if you trust Jesus. And you're not all hammers. You know, some of you may be hammer, and that's great. But some of you may be wire cutters, might not be as easily recognized for what you do. But you're all part of the family, and you're all needed. The point is, we're all different. And in your home, every family member is different. As sometimes you might look at your brother or sister and think, oh, I'm not as good at them or whatever. And that doesn't mean you're not needed as much as they are and belong as much as they are. And in our church family, you're needed and you belong just as much as anybody else. You belong because you're part of the family. You belong because you're God's chosen possession.
Good morning. Pastor Dave, I work with children and families here, and I'm going to follow up Pastor Jeff on his comments on how we connect through identity. And go ahead and throw that slide up, you guys can. I want to talk about what it means to be connected through honor. Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring one another. How to be connected through honor. And I was really wrestling with how to symbolize honor. I wanted to bring a merit badge. I wanted to bring report cards. I wanted to bring, except I have none of those. I have no merit badges. I have a hockey puck signed by Wayne Gretzky, but that doesn't reflect me at all. So I dug deep into my theology books, and I pulled out stuff that I think will help us understand what it means to be connected through honor. When I was a young parent, when we first started out, I read Calvin and Hobbes. If you've never experienced Calvin and Hobbes, you are missing out. Bill Watterson is the author, and he did a very good job of capturing, I believe, the essence of what it means to live in family. And he does a really good job of getting into the imagination of young Calvin here and trying to understand family life and just life in general through Calvin's imagination. And his stuffed animal here is Hobbes. That's a stuffed tiger. And in Calvin's imagination world, Hobbes comes alive and they do all kinds of antics. And so I was thinking of what Pastor Jeff talked about, and I go, that sounds really good, but there are many days when I look at my children and I go, I don't know what tool belt you came out of, but man. So let me just illustrate this a little bit. Hopefully I can operate this thing correctly. Turn it on. And what am I pressing forward? Ha! So isn't that just a great example of what happens in your family when your family wants to take a family picture? You'll notice the rolls of film laying at dad's feet, and Calvin just simply is not cooperating. And we've all been there. It is just so incredibly frustrating. Need I say more? I know, it takes a while to sink it in. Calvin and Hobbes are very deep, and you have to really think about it for a minute. Because he's just experimenting. He wants to know what's going on if I just play with this little dial. I love this one the best. This one is clearly does not like what mom and dad have on the agenda. Calvin says, Dad, you just don't rate very high. It's actually quite comical. If you read Calvin and Hobbes, they call these dad polls happen a lot. And Calvin comes to Dad many, many times and says, Dad, your ratings are dropping. And then Dad has his calm moments when he explodes and goes, but Calvin, you flooded the bathroom floor yesterday. This one, I think, kind of captures where we can sometimes find ourselves when it comes to figuring out how to make family work around this word honor. Starts off where, obviously, Calvin doesn't like his meal. And so in his imagination, where it goes, yeah, death to oatmeal. You'll never escape, vile glob. Die, die. And then you see Mom going, Calvin, quit. And then you can read how Mom approaches Dad. It's your fault that we didn't have a sweet little girl. It's your stupid chromosomes, not mine. And that she storms out of the room, and I want to freeze frame on this. And Dad was just reading his book. He was just minding his own thing. And his conclusion is, I just live here. And I think sometimes we feel like that, and we come to church and someone says, delight in honor. And we go, I may be in your home. Not so much in mine. There are days, whether you're a parent or even if you're a child, and you go, I don't know. Sometimes I think my family stepped off of Mars and I just live here. What is honor? Honor is a gift. Honor is showing, is giving someone a gift, and very few people can receive a gift without some response of gratitude. Honor simply means to hold in high esteem. That's probably the most direct definition of honor, is to hold in high esteem, in great esteem. One who brings respect or fame, it's praise, it's esteem, it's admiration for someone. I connect with my family through honor. I can stay connected in my family through honor. I have the ability to keep my family connected by the way I honor those around me. I enrich my family by the way that I honor those around me. I'm trying to say it over and over again. You see, honor does more than just what's expected. Honor takes obedience one step further. Honor, I think, gives depth to respect. You see, I can respect, for example, a person in authority over me, but that doesn't mean that I necessarily honor that person. I can respect someone who is older than I am, someone who's wiser than I am. I tried to play hockey once in a while, and I'm okay on the ice. I at least don't fall down all the time. And some people might go, well, I can respect your ability, but if someone like Elias Peterson comes on the ice who is way younger than I am, I can respect him, or I can take the respect one step further and go, I'm honoring him because, wow, this guy's quite the phenom. This guy's quite a player. An example that I have in my own life of someone that I respect is a professor at Providence Seminary and College in Winnipeg. His name is Professor Gus Konkel. Gus Konkel is the toughest professor I've ever sat under in my life. He was the kind of professor, if you sit in his classroom, you never ever sit in the front row, and you never ever sit in the back row, because he would always pick on the person on the front row, and because he knew that people hide in the back row, he'd pick on the people in the back row. And we did some great theology classes with him, and he would ask a simple question, and then he'll look at you and go, and what is your response? And I say something that I think was deep and profound, and he'd look at me, I'm not lying, he'd say, did you think about that answer? Did you give that any thought at all as you're doing this? Right? You're shrinking. He was the toughest man I ever sat under, but I have a tremendous amount of not only respect for him, but I can honor him because I knew what he was trying to do. His goal was to make me a better student. And I respected him because, as knowledgeable as he was, he would continually tell us in class how he himself was a student, and how he himself would study and try to get better at his task. And I said, a man that I can respect, I can also honor. Do you understand honor? Honor is adding something more to just simply obedience. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. I think Pastor Jeff is right. My children, because they carry my name, Kirsch, they are part of my family. And they enhance my family by their gifts and by their skills and by their talents and now by their attitudes. But they can also take delight in honoring one another in a lot of different ways. And so I want to be very, very practical very, very quickly. I said it'd only be a couple minutes. Let me suggest to you some phrases that we can use in honoring each other. And I think these phrases are applicable to us as adults as well as to us as children. You may have heard some of them before, and I think it's valuable to repeat them. The first one is, I believe in you. It simply is, I believe in you. You can say that as a parent to your child in a lot of different ways, but just simply say, I believe in you. As a child, you can say that to your mom or your dad, or believe it or not, you can actually say it to your brother or sister as well. That phrase simply is an appreciation for what's good before criticizing what's wrong. It's an appreciation for what's good that you see in someone before you criticize or laugh at for what you see as being wrong. A simple phrase, I believe in you. I believe in you. Second one, you can count on me. I think that's a song, isn't it? But it simply says, I will stay true to my word. I will do the best to my ability to keep the promises I make. You can trust me. Children, you know that as you get older, mom and dad give you more and more responsibilities. And there's a lot of good to that. And part of it is, it's a way of saying, hey, mom, dad, you can count on me. If I said I'm going to clean the dishes after the dinner table, I'm going to actually do it. You can count on me. Next one, I treasure you. That one is kind of difficult sometimes to understand. It simply means treat one another as though they're special. It is so easy in family to take each other for granted, is it not? It is so easy to wake up in the morning and know mom's going to have breakfast on the table. Or that dad or mom had done grocery shopping the night before so we can have breakfast on the table. To say I treasure you is to say thank you for just the mundane everyday stuff. I treasure you. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I don't think I need to say any more. The next one's a little bit difficult. The word because. And I'll add this next one to it because both of these, we know as children, we say no all the time, right? I think that's the first word we learn when we're a child. We learn how to say no. And so I'm suggesting to you that no or because are words that we should add that we need to hear. Let me explain those a little bit. The because word is, as parents, we can say to children, I believe in you because you're such a good wire stripper. Does that make sense? On the other hand, you can say to your child, no, because I know better than you do. Sometimes, children, you need to hear the word no from your mom and dad because they are wiser than you. And they do know better than you. And I know as children we hate to hear the word no, but we have to understand that the word no is part of the boundaries that have to be in our lives. And then finally, I love you. I've been challenged years ago how to say these three words, how to say I love you without actually using words. And there are times when you can use your actions and your attitude, and there's a lot of different ways to say I love you without actually saying those three words. But yet, it's very valuable to say those three words. So my suggestion to you is, from the wisdom of Calvin and Hobbes, sometimes home life can be very, very chaotic and crazy because children are children and adults are adults. But we can love each other with genuine affection. We can take delight in honoring one another. And I'd like to suggest some very, very simple ways in which we can do it. And I encourage you, in the next day or two as we take some time apart, to learn how to say some of those to your family. Thank you.
Throw up what I've got there. this journey that we're on, and yes, we're going to talk about it a lot more at the meeting next week. Being here and ultimately looking to build a building, there is easily in that journey the chance to get a little lost. And it's part of why I was preaching on 1 Peter. It's partly why some of the things that we are doing in order to encourage each other to stay connected is so important. And this morning you heard again Jeff reminding us that in the book of 1 Peter, identity is so important. That there's something unique and wonderful about belonging to Jesus Christ. It really is. It's something very, very special to have Him as my Lord and Savior. And because I've got Jesus in my life, because Jesus has forgiven my sin, because Jesus has promised me a future, my connection with other people who have done that as well is by extension also very, very special. And our identity binds us together so that whether you're sitting here among a few or you're worshiping with a thousand, whether you are at a church in Canada or in Nigeria or in Haiti or in South America somewhere, it instantly binds us together. There's an identity that we have in and through Jesus Christ. But it takes work. What Dave said about honor and family, it's hard work to stay connected. It's hard not to be divided by our differences. It's hard not to disrespect when you don't get your way. And that's part of the journey in a family. It's part of the journey in a church. And so interspersed throughout 1 Peter, time and time again, he talks not only about identity, but he talks about how we treat each other. He talks about how important it is to have the right attitudes towards other Christians, to not, as Philippians say, think you are more important than someone else, or better than someone else, or worthy of more attention than someone else, or that your words matter more than someone else, or that your opinion is definitively better than anybody else's. And the list goes on and on and on and on. We stay connected through our identity. We stay connected through our honor. We stay connected through crisis. Part of the whole reason that the book of 1 Peter was written was to remind us that life will be with crisis. If you live life without crisis, it just means that you've had a quiet 10 seconds. That's all it means. We stay connected through crisis because that is life. Life is a series of crises, whether they're small or big, whether they're national or international, whether they are just about you or whether they involve other people. And so the book of 1 Peter says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you've had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Submit yourselves to the Lord's sake, to every human authority. And then he goes through a list. And he says in 15, for it's God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. We need to hear that, folks. That's a fridge magnet. It's God's will that by doing good, you should silence those that are against us. Live as free people. Don't use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Show proper respect to everybody. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor Trudeau. That's what it says. And how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? So what if you get beat up for being a bad guy? Or for being disrespectful or unkind or hideously hateful. There's no reward for that. It's your own fault. It's the punishment for what you did. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, that's commendable before God. Don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you can inherit a blessing. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. practice that. So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Identity, honor, crisis, ways in which we stay connected to one another, so important, not only in our families, important in our church, important together as Christians as we take a stand for him. Let me close in a word of prayer, then we're going to sing our final song. Father, bless us as we continue to model family, as we model relationships in the family, as you help fathers and husbands to be the best they can be, wives and mothers, as you are with kids who try to honor their parents and parents who teach and show respect and love. Father, and through all of that, into our relationships that go into our jobs and into our communities and into our country, again, may the way we act be impressive. Impressive because it baffles people that we should be so kind, so loving, so outgoing, so hospitable. Father, help us to remember that calling as we face crisis together. So we bless you. We bless you for the family. We bless you for a family of believers that we have chosen to be together like this. And we thank you for the huge family of believers, all Christians, Canada, throughout the world, a nation that you have called to yourself to honor you in everything. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.